Greetings, I'm Bill Clackey, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Lois Hebel, who is co-president of the Maryland League of Women Voters and on the board of the League of Women Voters of Baltimore, for being our guest today. Lois, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. This is an update from about 9, 10, 11 months ago.
Okay.
And you folks are doing such great stuff, and you are what I call one of the unsung heroes, as your organization is, keeps our democracy functioning.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And you're doing a good job despite the obvious attempts to undermine by some folks, but you know, we won't get into that.
Well, we're lucky in Maryland that we have a little better support for open elections and good election laws.
Amen. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us, please, about the League?
Well, the League of Women Voters was founded by Carrie Chapman Catt in 1920 during the convention of the National American Women's Suffrage Association. Uh-huh. And the convention was held just 6 months before the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, giving the women the right to vote after a 72-year-old struggle. And we are women at that time. Realized that they needed to educate themselves and other women about the issues, and there were a lot of issues that they were concerned about and needed to advocate on. And so we are, and they decided they would be nonpartisan, but we are political because we of course encourage informed and active participation in government and work to increase understanding of major public policy issues. And we try to influence public policy through our education and advocacy.
Right. And the League of Women Voters of Maryland has been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Just about the same year.
Wow. One of the first, right?
Right. Yeah. Of course, we're celebrating our 100th anniversary. Both of the League and of suffrage.
That's right, this year. This year. Happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
2020, really. But the,
things
started in, 1919, so.
it's worth a long celebration.
That's right.
Because it took so long to happen. Yes, indeed. And what's your background and role with the League?
Well, I kind of started in the League when we moved to Baltimore in the 60s, and I found it had been recommended to me by a college professor, and I found it to be a very engaging and informed and interesting group of women. And of course, I was very interested in getting, you know, being more informed about politics. And then I got, when my children started to school, I became very concerned about education funding, and the League was studying this and took a position that we should have adequate and equitable funding for education in Maryland.
I kind of started out
concentrating on that issue, but worked on other aspects too.
When I say unsung, I mean unsung because few people are aware of how much the League actually does in terms of supporting, you know, our form of government.
Well, that's right. And, you know, our theme is like empowering voters and defending democracy. Mm-hmm. And our National League has gone to court to try to get gerrymandering outlawed. We didn't quite succeed with partisan gerrymandering like the kind we have in Maryland, and many other voter suppression issues too. And so they often provide the funding and some of the legal support for what the local leagues do on these issues.
Right. And I know one of the things that the local leagues do is monitor voting places.
Yes, that's certainly done.
Yeah, that's a great service. Mm-hmm. That really is a great service. I bet when folks go to vote and they see these folks standing around watching things, they have no idea that perhaps one of them is a League of Women Voters observer.
That's right.
Yeah, making sure that the things are done according to the rules.
Mm-hmm. And we have We usually have a member who attends the State Board of Election meetings, too, and finds out what's going on, what the issues are.
Right, and to looking out for in case of variation or possible variation from the idea of open voting.
Right. Open and secure, too. We've had to worry about that recently.
Yeah, indeed. That's probably something that a lot of our folks might be interested. Can you relate anything about what the league's been doing in terms of the security issue?
Well, just try to keep on top of it. And we had somebody from the Board of Elections speak at our one of the experts from the State Board of Education talk about voter security and all the things they had been doing to try to make it secure. And I guess always you need enough money so that all the election people can upgrade their equipment.
Right. Let's talk about the league's voter registration efforts.
Okay, well, November 24th is National Voter Registration Day, and the league was one of the founding members of this. I can't remember how many years we've been doing that, but that's sort of been a particular day to emphasize voter registration. And the Baltimore City League has particularly concentrated on trying to have voter registration in high schools and in the community college.
That makes sense.
And, you know, and we get asked to do it and train people to be voter registrars, too, is another thing we have done. And I know that, you know, the leagues all over the state are working on this, too.
Do you think that we're going to – I know that you can vote at some universities, like Towson University, for example, has early voting.
There are these days. There are sites, so many, a certain number of sites in each county where you can do early voting. So, you know, we're always supported anything that would make it easier and more convenient for people to vote and to register to vote and to cast absentee ballots, for example.
Yeah, and it's really important to underline the fact that the league has always been nonpartisan.
Yes, and I did, you know, want to explain. Sometimes people don't understand that because they think that means we don't take any position on anything. But we're nonpartisan in terms of supporting political candidates.
Right.
But we do study issues and then advocate on those positions that we have.
Yeah, for whoever
right.
is supporting them.
Right, right.
You know, no matter what party or independent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Redistricting.
Yes.
That is with the census and with the, I know Maryland has redistricting right now, huh?
Well, that's right. And, of course, we were very disappointed the outcome of the Supreme Court decision. But I know that the league is still determined to try to get something done this session. We'll probably be trying to get some kind of an amendment that would have standards for the kinds of districts we have so they don't look like a salamander and aren't so, you know, unfair. And that would probably have to be a state constitutional amendment. And then... also, I think there is a push, too, to maybe look at whether we can have a court case under state constitution, depending on the wording. So I'm not sure how far we've gotten with actually doing that. But
and the idea is to get away from these districts that start in Baltimore County and end in Frederick, huh?
Right. For one thing, it makes it hard for the representative to really represent all the people because it's so diverse. And then when you think about the proportion of representatives of a party that you can have, and then the proportion of people of that party, you know, it's unbalanced.
Yeah,
and then it also makes, when the district is so safe for the one party or the other, they tend to get more extreme if they feel like they don't have to really appeal to a diverse group of voters.
Right, and therefore less responsive to all the voters.
To all the voters, right.
Yeah, and less responsive to... to things that happen,
right,
that demand attention. If they have in their bonnet one specific little thing, they're going to go for it.
Right. I might say too that the National League and even state league people did lobbying too to make sure that citizenship question was not on the census, because we felt it was very important that we try to get everybody counted for all the services that get paid for as a result of the census statistics.
And I know that we really got away from the old, didn't the districts used to be around counties more rational?
Yes, I think that was, kind of the compactness area where you try, so you're not splitting people up.
Because that's really the essence of the Constitution.
Right. In North Carolina, there was even a district that ran right in the middle of a college campus.
Wow.
The borders. So.
There's some tenuous little funny looking districts. Huh? Mm-hmm.
So our coalition is called Tame the Gerrymander. So people that want to support this, they can sign up on our website to be supportive of redistricting.
Do you know what's the history of gerrymandering? I guess there was a as I remember, there was actually a representative named Jerry Mander, wasn't
there? His name was Alfred Jerry, and somebody said it looked like a salamander, so I think they called it a gerrymander. And in the past, one thing the league has done to highlight this issue was to celebrate his birthday. And
that's nice. That's nice. And I take it it wasn't the Alfred Jerry who was the...
Not
French
as a hero,
writer.
But as a no.
Well, that's fascinating. I know Annapolis is coming up.
That's right.
And I know that the league surveys its members to ask what the position should be.
Right, right. Particularly within our local.
Very democratic.
Well, we try to be democratic about it.
How can you not be?
Right, right.
It would be hypocrisy of a high level, right?
Right. Because there's so many things that we have studied or acted on in the past that we have to kind of look at, what's happening and what's most important to people and where we have the people to actually do the work, too.
Yeah, yeah. And so for Annapolis, what are the important things? Has the league come to decisions yet, or is
we're still working on it for next year? But they tend to be in three areas, like, for example, making democracy work, which is of course the redistricting, and then voting, fair voting, and campaign finance reform disclosure, and then the public funding of elections. And
boy, wouldn't that be wonderful.
Right. Well, there's going to be a hearing in Baltimore City for a city fair elections bill that's happening next Tuesday in City Council. The charter amendment passed last year by, I think it was 3-1 margin. And so now they have to get the bill to actually enact it.
I hope it gets done.
Right. And let's see, I mentioned, and then that's one big area. And then protecting the environment is another, and then supporting social and economic justice. That's where our education funding comes in. Public transportation is an important thing, and that's kind of in between the environment and the social and economic justice. And we've got some people working really hard on that.
Yeah, and the important thing, as I've mentioned before, is to join the league. The league needs support.
Well, yes, we need people who would join us, because the more members we have, the more force there is behind what we say. And then just contributing is very important too, because one of the things we do, of course, is our voters' guides where we ask the candidates questions.
They are invaluable.
And we have the online voters' guide, vote411.org, and so we actually use that to contact the candidates, and then from that we produce our paper guides that we also distribute. So
I always, throughout the years, my wife and I have a solid credo, and that is anybody that doesn't respond to the League of Women Voters question and is running for office, we will not
vote
for.
And we print their answers exactly as they wrote them, too.
Amen. Amen. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Oh, okay. Now, our website for the state is LWV, like League of Women, LWVMD, League of Women Voters of Maryland, .org. And, of course, you can also email info@lwvmd.org, or you can call 410-269-0232. But there is a wealth of information on the state website, and we have Facebook and Twitter, too. And then from our state site, you can get links to the local leagues if you want to get involved with the local league.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're all out of time.
Okay.
I want to thank our guests today, Lois Hebel, who is co-president of the League of Women Voters of Maryland and a board member of the League of Women Voters of Baltimore, for being our guest today. Thank you, Lois.
Well, thank you. I hope that the sound comes out all right. That was close enough.
And thanks for your hard work for all of us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving it. Now, this will be broadcast on a Saturday morning at 6.
Yes. Thank you. That's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Lois Hebel of the League of Women Voters, for being our guest today. Hope you have a good neighbor out. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.